children are entitled to a relationship with both of their parents, and they're entitled to know who they are.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute talking about her presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you take that entitlement as basic and reason backwards from that, what you'll end up with is the whole traditional Christian sexual morality. Get married, stay married, and only have sex with the person you're married to.
You can meet and hear Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse making the case against the sexual revolution at the Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120 and includes three meals. Child care is free. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You might have seen the story floating around today about a new genetic study that is claiming to debunk the Old Testament, at least in one of its claims, having to do with whether or not Joshua and the Israelites, when they entered the Promised Land and took possession of it, they engaged in a military campaign of conquest by God's command after the Exodus, whether or not they wiped out all of the Canaanites who were dwelling in the land. The story that you may have read says, well, we found Canaanite genetic material in people today, and that means the Canaanites weren't wiped out and the Bible's wrong. Well, something's wrong. We'll find out what it is. Joining us to talk about this story, Dr. David Adams, Associate Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on Genesis. Dr. Adams, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's always good to be with you.
Does the Bible claim there in the Old Testament that when Joshua and the Israelites took possession of the land, that they eventually wiped out all the Canaanites?
Well, in a word, no. The Bible makes no such claim at any point. It's the sort of thing that people who know only a little bit about the Bible are inclined to think, because they've heard that God commanded the Israelites to drive the Canaanites out, you know, or to eliminate them if they wouldn't be driven out. And so they rather naively assume that since God commanded the Israelites to do it, that that's what the Israelites did. But you know, anybody who knows much about the Old Testament history knows that for generations, for centuries, the Israelites struggled because they didn't drive out all the people from the land. Therefore, they fell into the habit, if you will, of being influenced by them. And that originally, you know, that eventually led to them going astray from what God had commanded them to do in all sorts of ways, which led to the exile and many events after that. So, you know, the Bible nowhere says that the Israelites actually followed God's command to wipe out the Canaanites. And in fact, we know that they didn't, because, for example, they made a treaty with one group of Canaanites. The Bible actually mentions that. And, for example, the Jebusites still held on to Jerusalem until the time of David. And that was, even by the most liberal dating, a couple of centuries after Israel had entered into the land, 4 centuries by more traditional dating. So there's abundant evidence throughout the Old Testament that the Israelites never followed God's command to completely wipe them out. Joshua did destroy a number of cities that are mentioned in the book of Joshua, but nowhere does Joshua or anywhere else suggest that they actually wiped them out completely. And in fact, if you actually understand who the Canaanites were, you would see, you know, that it's really an absurd proposition.
Dr. Adams, you mentioned this just now, but who were the Canaanites? Is it a broad term for the people that simply dwelt in Canaan?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's helpful to understand who the Canaanites were. If you can visualize a map of the Middle East as it is today or in biblical times, the Canaanites were a Semitic people, that is to say they were closely related to the Israelites, and they occupied all of the land from basically the border of Egypt to modern Turkey, almost up to modern Turkey, and as far inland as the Jordan River, you know, kind of going straight, a straight line up, more or less. But even then, all those people, who we generally call Canaanites, were very closely related to the people who lived on the west side of the Jordan, whom we usually call Amorites. But really, they were all one big cultural group that shared a common culture, a common language, a common religion. The Canaanites never formed a major state. They never coalesced into one nation. They remained a number of basically independent city-states. And we tend to distinguish the Canaanites who live in what was now Israel and the Canaanites who live in what is now Lebanon, and the ones who live in the north in what's now Lebanon, we tend to call them Phoenicians, following the Greek term. And then they were, you know, they were traders. They went out around the Mediterranean. They formed colonies like the one at Carthage that Rome fought later on. So we don't realize, most people don't realize that the city of Carthage that Rome fought was a Canaanite city, or Phoenician city, but really they're all the same people. And by the way, the Israelites are almost indistinguishable from the Canaanites in terms of culture, of language, of, you know, the way they built their houses. The only thing that really distinguished the Israelites was their religion. Otherwise, in almost every other way, the Israelites and Canaanites were part of the same large sociocultural group. The most that God ever commanded the Israelites to do was to drive out or destroy the Canaanites who lived in the land that Israel was going to inherit. The northern Canaanites, who live in what today would be Lebanon, they were never, God never commanded them to be destroyed by the Israelites, and Israel never never campaigned up into that area. It's not mentioned in the book of Joshua. So, and by the way, in the article that's in the Independent for today, that's where the genetic material came from that was used in this testing. What they're really talking about are descendants of the northern Canaanites, or the Phoenicians, who survived today. But I have no doubt that other descendants of Canaanite stock, genetic stock, are all over the western part of the Middle East.
This command that the Independent article focuses on to utterly wipe out the Canaanites, where do we find it, and why did God give such a command?
Sure. Well, it's mentioned a number of times. In the book of Exodus, you'll find echoes of it in the book of Joshua as well. And the purpose is clear in texts from the book of Exodus, like chapter 23, for example, and others in the book of Exodus. God's concern is that if the Israelites settled in and among the Canaanites, that they would be influenced by them and led astray by them and would turn away from the worship of the true God and worship the false gods that the Canaanites worshiped. That was God's concern, and that's the reason that he commanded the Israelites to drive the Canaanites out of the land. And God knew what he was talking about, because that's exactly what happened. When Israel failed to drive the Canaanites out of the land, they did, in fact, over time, adopt not only Canaanite cultural practices, but especially the worship of Canaanite gods. And much of the books of Samuel and Kings and Chronicles and the books of the prophets, particularly the pre-exilic prophets, are all dealing with the fact that because Israel failed to carry out God's command, they did exactly what God warned them would happen. They intermarried. They became influenced by them. In fact, one of the most important kings of the northern kingdom, King Omri, and the dynasty that flowed from him, he was probably a Canaanite, not even an Israelite. His name is Canaanite, not Israelite. So the Canaanites were around, and as God had warned Israel, they unfortunately led the people of God astray into the worship of other gods.
So it is it's a theological concern that God is exercising. This isn't about genocide or
ethnic cleansing.
Cleansing or relocating a population so that the Israelites will have space to move around in.
Yeah, no, it's entirely theological. It couldn't be about ethnic cleansing because, as I said, there's virtually no difference between the Israelites and the Canaanites in ethnic, in ethnicity and in society, you know, broadly in their material culture, in their language. Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, is just a dialect of Canaanite. It's not a separate language. It's simply a Canaanite dialect. Like, I'm from the South here in America. You know, I speak a Southern American dialect. So people from the North, to me, they're almost foreigners because they speak a sort of Northern dialect of American. But the reality is, you and I can tell the difference between people from different regions of the United States and the way they speak. But if you look at it written out, written down on paper, it's virtually it is the same language. And that's really what Hebrew is in relation to Canaanite. So there's no question of kind of an ethnic cleansing because there's no real ethnic distinction, much of an ethnic distinction to be made. The distinction is entirely a religious one. And that's God's concern throughout, that Israel would be faithful to the God who had revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai and, you know, continued to call Israel to be his own people. And their failure to do that, you know, led to, well, the whole Old Testament history as we know it.
Dr. David Adams is our guest. He's Associate Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on Genesis. When we come back, why is it that Joshua and the people failed to carry out God's command?
Long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a new genetic study claiming that the Canaanites weren't wiped out by Joshua and the Israelites. In fact, they weren't wiped out, but the Bible never claims that they were. Dr. David Adams is our guest. Dr. Adams, why is it then that Joshua and the people failed to carry out this command? I mean, it seems a little absolute in terms of you got to track down every single Canaanite. Was that really the intent of the command, track down every single Canaanite and wipe them out?
Well, if we're talking, no, the command was really, the initial command is to drive them out and only to wipe them out, to kill them, to eliminate them if they wouldn't be driven out, which, of course, was what you would expect, that they would resist being driven out. But the primary concern was not to kill them, but simply to put them in a position where they couldn't lead Israel astray. So that was the primary focus of God's command.
So why did they fail to carry out even that, the driving them out before them?
Well, I suppose, Todd, really, when you think about it, the answer is the same if we were to ask, why is it that you or I fail daily? You know, we sometimes get wrapped up in the daily events of our lives and lose our focus, you know, as followers of Christ. The same thing happened to the Israelites. Think about their situation. They were moving into a new land. They had new, you know, houses to build, farms to settle, crops to plant, crops to harvest, children to raise. You know, that all those things tended to drive out the long-term sort of theoretical need to push the Canaanites out. So what Joshua did, what the Israelites did in the book of Joshua, is they had three campaigns, a northern, central, and southern campaign, and they basically carved out living space for themselves in the central mountainous highlands, and then the Canaanites pushed to the edge. And, you know, when the Israelites did enough to have land to live on, they stopped. And even then, there were Canaanite enclaves, even in the mountainous highlands, like Jerusalem itself, which, as we mentioned earlier, didn't get taken by the Israelites for several centuries after Joshua's time.
So it was also a kind of a multi-generational task set before them.
Yes, in fact, God says in the book of Exodus that he's going, that the Israelites will only, kind of tells them that they will only drive out the Canaanites bit by bit, little bit by little bit. So even God in the book of Exodus predicts, foretells that Israel will not do what he has commanded them to do, that they will only take control of the land little bit by little bit over an unspecified but long period of time.
So then with about 30 seconds here, Dr. Adams, if my unbelieving neighbor says to me this weekend, did you see that story that debunked the Old Testament, how would you respond?
Yeah, I'd simply respond by saying, you know, most of the article is based on a misreading of the Old Testament and represents the common ignorance of what Old Testament history is. The Bible does not claim that the Israelites destroyed every Canaanite, and so it's quite natural that we would expect that there would be genetic descendants of biblical Canaanites living in the world today, especially in Lebanon, where, you know, where the Israelites never even attempted to drive the Canaanites out. So that's entirely, if you had asked me before this article came out, whether I would expect to find genetic descendants of the Canaanites in the Middle East, I would have said absolutely, without any question. So there's really no story here.
Dr. David Adams is Associate Professor of Old Testament, Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on Genesis. Dr. Adams, thank you very much.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thank you for having me.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to be broadcasting from the Old Latin School in Wittenberg, Germany. We'll be talking with expert guests on topics like the 95 Theses, Wittenberg and the Reformation, Martin Luther on baptism, worldwide Lutheranism, Praying Luther's Small Catechism, and more. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you next week. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.